What is the next generation of media pros studying?
None of my classes have strictly focused on artificial intelligence.
Today, I speak to Alec Dubois, a UNH communications senior studying media practices.
I've taken a class on documentary production. I know that I have used it for that class, as well as a podcasting course.
What conversations are they having in class?
Basically the same debate that we're seeing out in the world with everybody on the internet and everything. It is controversial. I feel like a lot of people are still very reserved of pretty big films and TV shows that have used AI art, for example. That's a pretty big situation that's been brought up in class.
And what practical applications are they learning? Let's get to it. This is On AI, the podcast.
My name is Alec Dubois. I am a senior undergraduate at UNH, the University of New Hampshire. I'm from Hudson, New Hampshire. It's a town in southern New Hampshire. I've been interested in media and filmmaking, I feel like forever, since I was very young. I feel like I was always making little videos on my iPod with my friends, editing, completely filming, editing with iMovie and all of that. I just continued to hone that interest. There were not a lot of classes in high school that related to this. I think I took two in particular, which related to media. And I feel like after that, it was almost like it was inevitable that I was going to pursue this as a career option.
And here you are as a senior doing your thesis on artificial intelligence. How did you come to that decision?
So my thesis film is focusing on the uses and implications of AI as it's getting to be implemented in the media and entertainment industries. I feel like just thinking about what I wanted to do for my thesis project, starting probably two semesters ago, I knew I wanted to focus on some significant factor that definitely would have some impact on this industry that I want to go into. And then it was probably the two major union strikes in Hollywood of last year, the Screen Actors Guild and also the Writers Guild, that made it clear that AI was going to have this kind of impact. It was coming, and there's nothing that anyone's going to be able to do to completely stop it and see how it's going to evolve the industry in the next few years. So it, again, sort of became inevitable that this is what I was going to focus on. And yeah, I've started to speak to a variety of different media professionals, such as yourself, to see how their different opinions differ based on the implications of these technology and how you guys have been using it already in your media work. So that's been really interesting so far.
Has anything in the course of your interviews with media professionals, has anything changed your mind? So in other words, coming into this, you have a thesis statement, you have an objective, but what are you discovering? Because I find this to be like a process of discovery. What are you discovering along the way? And you might not have all the answers, but so far, what have you learned?
Yeah, I definitely don't. And I kind of feel like I'm still holding off on maybe determining my final verdict or opinion on the entire statement or presenting my final thesis statement, which I'm sure I will eventually come up with by the end of this entire project when I have all the different data and interviews. But I think one of the most interesting things that I have been noticing in terms of trends is, it's not totally 100% factually true, but it seems that people who are fresher in the industry, maybe have 10, 15, or even less years so far, 5 to 10 years, maybe it'd be a more accurate number. People who are like have 5 to 10 years in the industry so far seem to be more on the optimistic side, whereas the people that I've either briefly spoken to or interviewed who are maybe even 25, 30 years in general tend to be a little bit more cautious about how this could be impacting the economic viability of the industry going forward, replacing jobs, and also the creative implications of it as well. Which is an interesting trend that I've noticed.
And I think it's interesting too, because I think that there's a lot of people that are in, my world that I would say is 50-50, right? There are people who are like me and are embracing them and really excited about the tools and are in general optimistic about the implications of it for the industry, but still have a little bit more reservations about it from like the human society part of it, you know? So, and that just might be, you know, we get to the age of being someone's parent and you have a different, you know, idea. I'm curious though, because I am, you know, parent two teenagers and they're going to be going off to college at some point. I am so curious, Alec, your mind and your peers, like right now, what are your peers saying that you are in class with? What do they think?
Yeah. Different things. I think it's basically the same debate that we're seeing out in the world with everybody on the internet and everything. It is controversial. It's come up and at least one of my classes recently, and maybe a few of them, as a debate. I feel like a lot of people are still very reserved about, you know, how AI has already been used recently in the capacity to actually replace human creatives. I think there's been several recent stories of pretty big films and TV shows that have used AI art, for example. That's a pretty big situation that's been brought up in class. But then there's also people that acknowledge all the amazing benefits that have already come out of this technology in creative fields in terms of, you know, making production more efficient, saving time on what would be spent on menial tasks, saving time in the CGI at part of the industry, for example. And then also AI's benefits in terms of medicine and engineering and all those super important fields as well. So, you know, different sides of the debate, but...
Are you in your coursework giving a format to discuss AI, or is it an afterthought? Are you digging deep on it? Is there a class that you can take?
Yeah, as of now, there are no classes that I know in the communication media major that you can take that focuses on AI. And none of my classes have strictly focused on artificial intelligence as like a part of the curriculum. I've taken a class on documentary production with documentary filmmaker Professor Tom Jackson, and we've talked about AI in passing. I know that I have used it for that class, as well as a podcasting course, in terms of Adobe has a tool that can clean up audio quality that has become really useful. So we've spent a little bit of time on that. But other than that, I think the only courses to my knowledge that strictly focus on artificial intelligence would be computer science courses at UNH. That's where they're at right now in terms of teaching us that technology.
Yeah, that's totally fair. I mean, I think that there are so many educational opportunities that I can seek out as a professional to learn these things. And I think that at some point, the artificial intelligence will just be native in the tools like you use, that you won't necessarily really think about it. Like, I'm kind of excited when we're not even having this conversation, to be honest, even though my whole podcast is called On AI. Like, I would rather just be like on tech, right? Because we want the tech to enable our jobs to do better, not replace them. So, but I do think maybe an AI class would be a great philosophy elective at this point. There's also tangible tools that keep changing, which is really fun.
Yes, exactly. And I did actually forget to mention, I took a class, it was several years ago at this point, which I think is still offered, but it is basically what you were just talking about. It's the philosophy of AI and technology, which was definitely something that I've already started to kind of draw on my notes from that for this project in particular, all the way back to, you know, the original thought experiments on artificial intelligence from Alan Turing and all of that, and John Searle. So there is that course which is offered, which I forgot to mention that.
Oh, that's okay. That's cool. What are all of you and your peers thinking about what you're going to do when you graduate? It's a competitive industry, no matter what.
That's a great question. I mean, I could speak for at least myself in particular. I've had some very valuable experience. I've had some good opportunities to sort of, I guess, wet my feet in the media industry as it exists right now. I've worked as a videographer for some manufacturing companies on campus, four or five of them. And then I think I mean, that definitely was super valuable in terms of honing my production skills. And then hopefully this thesis project will also be able to kind of showcase what I can do in terms of that front of in terms of that. And also maybe most valuably, I actually got to spend time on a real film set last summer. It was an independent feature film that was shot in Massachusetts called Fakes. I was an assistant directing intern, basically a production assistant. So that was really cool in terms of trying to decide what direction I want to go once I go out of college. And I think I do want to pursue working as a PA and on that front of things, working on sets, and seeing what I can do and network.
I know you don't have an opinion holistically yet until you finish your thesis, but like, do you have an area that sort of intrigues you at this point? Or would you consider yourself curious about it, excited about it? What are like three or four adjectives that describe how you feel about artificial intelligence?
Yeah, that's a yeah. I was thinking about that earlier, before this. Like I was saying, I'm probably not going to give a distinct kind of final statement on the whole topic yet. But I do think that at this point, I am remaining optimistic about how the technology is going to be used. Obviously, AI and machine learning have awesome implications in every field, every industry. But in terms of the creative industries, I do like looking at AI as a tool, not a replacement for creative people in general. I guess I was going to pick, if I was going to pick three adjectives, I'd probably use cautious, but also impressed, and excited, I think.
Those are great words. Those are great words. I might have to steal them because, it's good to be cautious, but you can also be impressed and cautious. And I think that sometimes we don't necessarily put those words together. So I think that's great.
I have conflicting views on it, I guess, still, but I'm waiting to kind of see how it all shakes out and talk to as many people as I can about it.
Well, it will continue to feel that way. The word I like to use is overwhelmed because every time I read something, I'm like, holy crap. Oh my gosh. Wow. The tools change fast. And I think the pace is what we're really seeing is this accelerated pace. It's not like, oh, we just get used to this and now we have to do this. It's sort of like 6 months ago, tools existed that we were going to use in our workflow. That don't exist, that we don't need anymore because we can do this other thing to do it. So it's very smart that Tyler Perry is like pausing his production studio because, what's it going to look like, right? That's just a smart business decision. What are any of are you planning to use pl to make like an AI film? Are you planning to use any of the tools to make your own creations? I guess it probably depends on where your area of interest is.
I don't know yet. I think I'm going to, I mean, I'm definitely continuing to experiment with different tools. For example, I've only recently really started playing with ChatGPT. I was kind of hesitant for a while to even look at it. I guess I was sticking my head in the sand, like you were talking about earlier. But yeah, I guess we'll see. I've used, like I was saying, that kind of audio cleaning AI tool, which has been very helpful. But in terms of playing with, OpenAI's new tool, Sora, video generation tools in general, I think that I would be open to it, for sure. I don't know how that would play into my own interests in general, but maybe it would. I don't know. I'm more, I guess, more compelled by actual like narrative filmmaking in terms, and maybe even less animation, but I'm not sure yet. I don't know.
Yeah. No, I saw a film, a documentary film that obviously used AI to expand a scene where I think they took an image of like a shack or something. And just because of my own eye, I could tell that like this really isn't historical footage, right? This isn't actual footage. But what they did was they were able to, you know, expand the scene. So it kind of put it in a setting. So you have a little tiny house, expand the scene. And then they were able to do like a drone move with CGI. And it just felt misplaced in a documentary setting. And when they do those types of things, it's like, just because you can doesn't mean you should. I would have rather that they did a Ken Burns effect and had the actual photograph, scars, watermarks, and all, and show that six times throughout the film than to recreate something to, you know, to make it look like cinema when that didn't. So it didn't push the narrative forward. It was actually interfering with my ability to enjoy it because I was like, ah, you didn't have to do that, you know?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly. Yeah. That makes sense. It's, yeah. It's going to be something that I guess we're all just going to have to figure out where AI plays into each of these different respective fields and mediums.
What are your parents? Are they like, oh, that's cool, Alec, you're at school doing your film stuff. That's cool, honey. Like what do your parents say?
My dad is heavily interested in artificial intelligence. I probably wouldn't be able to give you a good description of what he actually does for work, but he's in network engineering, like internet application stuff. And I know that his company, or at least his aspect of what he does, has definitely transitioned to figuring out what artificial intelligence can do to help that industry. So, I mean, it's impacting everything. And he definitely understands, and he also was part of my decision to focus on artificial intelligence for this project, because it is very important, and it's going to be impactful for creative industry as well.
That's very cool. I try to get my kids to use the tools all the time. I'm like, no, don't do it that way. Come here. Just try this.
They're yeah.
Like, oh my God. Talk about my bike. In artificial intelligence, and I won't shut up. Poor you. I feel so bad about our interview that I really gave you it all. Anyone who will listen, I will say, please listen.
No, it was very helpful. I appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate you being on the podcast. So I know that you're one human being. You're one person that's studying film. You're doing this thesis. You're not the mouthpiece of the generation, but in some ways, I'm making you the mouthpiece of the generation.
So,
do you even talk about this kind of stuff, like the impact on humanity? Like, I remember being 21, 22, and I'm not sure. We didn't have social media. We didn't have Google. Like, you know what I mean? Like, so like what, how does it manifest in your life, if at all?
I mean, obviously I personally have been thinking about it a lot extra, more than I would say probably the average person my age, because of this project. And I think off the top of my head, the biggest way that it's impacting us is these text generations, these text bots, because, and I've already watched several YouTube videos about this topic, but because it's making it a lot easier for, I mean, we were talking about this earlier, for writing in particular, and even just every kind of schoolwork, to be honest. I know that there are, I'm not going to name names, but yeah, I've heard of students who just copy and paste their, you know, their assignments into ChatGPT, and then, you know, using the whatever is output. And it's definitely something that, you know, definitely something that professors are starting to think about a lot too when they're designing their curriculums. I was speaking to my advisor, who was also a professor here. And he was talking about how he had to totally redesign a curriculum for most of his classes that involved writing. And now he just doesn't assign nearly as much essay work because he just can't. Too many students are getting good at utilizing ChatGPT as a tool, and then, or not even as just as a tool, but to generate their entire responses and then editing those responses to sound less like a chatbot. So it's just becoming harder and harder to regulate that kind of thing. I would say that's the biggest way it's been impacting our life here in school.
Education. Yeah. So that's curious to me, because Again, I have two teenagers that are going to be going off to college, and here I am, the mom who loves AI, encouraging them to use ChatGPT, not exactly in the way that that you're describing, that I know students would be using it. Like, I don't know if I would, but I guess when you are serious about learning, you're going to try to get as much learning as you can, and there are always going to be people who are going to phone it in. Right. There are always going to be those students that are going to, like, to me, if I was a student, I'd be pissed because I'd work my ass off and I'd get a really to get a good grade, and then someone copied and pasted GPT and get a higher grade than me. I would be livid, so mad. Right. But at the same time, what did I learn? What did they learn? Like I'm really interested in like not cheating myself the learning. And I don't know if young people feel that they're cheating themselves the learning.
Yeah, it's a big question.
You're like,
I wish I knew it. I mean, that's definitely something that, yeah, it's definitely gonna be something to have to figure out. I don't know.
do you think it would be better if the professor that you mentioned, like less essay work, like do you think that it would be, let's just say that copying and pasting ChatGPT was an acceptable way to hand in an essay because that's research. Let's just say that it's not your writing, it's you doing research and you're compiling research using ChatGPT in essay form. Let's just say that. You can tell all your friends that you met this lady who figured out how to justify. But what would be the real test of you learning the knowledge? Would it be a presentation? Would it be a debate? Would it be? So I feel like the learning can still change, right?
Yeah, definitely. It could be in the form of a debate or, yeah, a presentation. Yeah, you're right. Exactly what you're saying.
Yeah. I didn't know if he what he did is an alternate to that
Right.
to sort of understand, in his syllabus, which is maybe I can ask him.
Yeah, I don't know exactly. I don't know exactly what he ended up doing. Yeah.
But they're changing. They are, professors are changing their script.
Yes, they are. They
Yes.
are.
And they're probably asking GPT how to do it. Make no mistake. That's what I would do. I would be like, help me design a class that tests people without using the written language. And like, hold on. I'm going to do that really quick while we talk. Hold on, because I think that would be a fun thought experiment. Okay. So I've got my ChatGPT-4, and I'm just going to do the thing like, help me create a way to test. Pardon the
Many
interruption as
students'
we consult our LLM for alternate options to test students'
knowledge
comprehension and synthesis.
and
Let's see what
comprehension.
it says. Creating alternative to written essays for testing history, knowledge, and comprehension can engage students in different ways, catering to varied learning styles and abilities. Here are several methods you might consider: oral presentations, give the interactive quizzes, role play activities, digital storytelling. Ooh, use stories to create presentations or videos to tell a story from history. They could use animation, video editing, poster, infographic design, board game creation. Still going, portfolio compilation and yeah, peer teaching. Ooh, peer teaching would be good. Virtual reality experiences. See, not bad, right?
Yeah, there's lots of possibilities.
And let's watch paint dry. I'm gonna search a GPT and you're gonna sit and wait. But that's my point. Like when I was talking with you earlier about the collaborative nature of it, right? Like maybe none of those are right, but it did get me thinking about something different, right? That's how I use GPT. Last question. Tell me, when can we see the film? When's it due? Where's it going to be? And how can we find you?
So I'm currently part at work. I mean, I have several interviews still to come. So I think that the entire film won't be edited and completed until early May, probably, at the end of the semester, basically. However, I'm going to be screening a portion of it, maybe a large portion of it, at a research conference because that's part of the you know, part of what I have to do for the thesis in Manchester, New Hampshire. So that is late or mid-April, I believe. I wish I had the exact date. So that's when at least part of it is going to be screened, and we'll see when I can get it out. I think that there's a chance maybe if it turns out like I want it to, I'll submit it to more places, festivals, to see if I could get it in there. Eventually, it'll be up on my website, which is alecdubuismedia.com.
Alec Dubois, that's a wonderful name. I am so grateful that you were willing to chat with me on my podcast. I understand that you're not ready to make conclusive declarative statements about artificial intelligence, but will you, I'm going to put you on the spot, will you come back when the film is complete and talk with me about where you sat and what you learned?
Yeah, if you want me to. I would love you to. I'll definitely try to come back.
The answer is yes, Alec. The answer is I would love to. Well, that is fabulous. So we know where to find you. Anything to say about the event in Manchester, or do you not know all the details yet?
I don't know all the details yet. I think that they're still figuring them out and they're going to contact me. But I definitely will be doing some sort of mini presentation and screening some footage there. UNH Manchester.
UNH Manchester. And if that is a public event, I can put that in the show notes or not. So I will let you know all that stuff. So fantastic. Well, thank you so much for this. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
That's going to do it for us today. Do you have an idea that we should dive into here on AI? I'd love to hear. Interested in being a guest? Let me know. Thanks for listening. And if you like what you're hearing, subscribe so you never miss an episode. New episodes each Thursday. Next week, we chat with Kai Bergen, head of AI at MVR Digital Workforce. You don't want to miss it. This is On AI, the podcast. I'm Beth on AI, human amplified by artificial intelligence.